Let me know that nothing is impossible with God. Did you enjoy Pastor Vincent? Whoa. Now, if you didn't recognize some of his anointing, he has come heavily under the influence of Dr. Lester Sumrall and teaches Dr. Sumrall's material in all of his Bible schools. So he is a protege of the doc. Isn't that wonderful to have him here today? Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 23 is one of the greatest apostolic prayers that Paul ever really prayed for the body of Christ. I'm not going to read its entirety, but you can begin looking at it as they flip from one screen to the next. Because I believe that one of the greatest abilities that God has given you and me is the ability to believe. Say, believe.
Believe.
Now, to believe is a grace. When you experience the grace of God, God's grace is not licensed to get worldly. Don't shout me down. But God's grace is an enablement, an ability that He gives to you and me. And part of that grace impact is to believe God, is to believe. So one of the greatest abilities God's given us is our ability to believe. I believe that great power is released when you believe. Great power is released when you believe in God. Now, I want you to see this verse in verse, I believe it's 23. Did you put it up there for me? Because he said that great power is released to those. Not Mark. Ephesians, if you will, please. 1, I think it's 23. You can go back to that. But I believe that when you say, Father, I believe, suddenly great power is released to you. Power comes to belief. So when I say, I believe God, all of a sudden, a release of His power is toward me. Look at verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Say that with me. Toward us who believe. Now, I want you to hold that verse for a minute, and I need something to throw. Do you have anything I can throw and not hurt anybody? Oh, well, wait a minute. Here's something. A Kleenex box. Now, say this Kleenex box had $1,000 in it, and I'm going to throw it to whomever wants it. Okay, now did you notice that? When she said over here, that caught my attention. And when she said I want it, I said, okay, take it. Now, look at this verse. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? In other words, I want that. And God said, oh, you want it? Take it. So power, the box, is released toward those who want it. If you don't want it, it's not coming to you. But I don't know about you, but this morning, I want the power of God in my life. Amen? Because that really is the answer for world evangelism. That's really the answer for our nation and the nations of the earth. See, you and I have to get a proper perspective of greater belief. We need to create a proper perspective of a greater belief. Here's what I mean. The soldiers in Israel at the Valley of Elah looked over at the Goliath and said, oh my gosh, he is way too big to kill. David said, oh, thank you, God. He's so big, I can't miss. When he released belief, God released power. But because the soldiers released unbelief, they stood in abeyance and in defeat and were taunted constantly by the devil. There is a generation being taunted by the devil. When you and I ought to be releasing our belief so that we can receive God's power. Come on, lift up your hands to heaven and tell him, say, Father, I want your power. Amen, amen. Now, Mark chapter 9, verse 24 is a great verse. It reads, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, I'm not saying that we have perfect faith or perfect belief. There's times our minds get in the way. Circumstances begin to scream at us. And we think, God, I don't know. Can I believe you? But notice what this man said to God. He said, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? Now, by saying that, I really am convinced that by saying that, God released his power to heal because the man knew that the obstacle between him and receiving the power of God was unbelief. So by even declaring, help me with my unbelief, he was saying to God, would you please address what might be lingering and hindering me from receiving from you. And God said, you know, that's all I need. You don't have to have perfect faith. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. You don't even have to have a duck. But if I know that you believe and you're working at your faith, I release to you my power. Now that encourages me. Because he recognized the element that stood between him and God's miraculous ability. Now look at it with me again in Ephesians 1:19. Paul was praying, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? I like the word exceeding greatness. Because there are things established in our life that we believe are great. They are significant. But God said this, if you believe, I'm going to release to you exceeding greatness. In other words, it's going to exceed whatever great thing is opposing you. My greatness of power exceeds any other kind of limitation. Then he said, toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I don't have time to break that down, but the working of his mighty power is the very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And he said, it will dwell in you and it will dwell in me and it will quicken our mortal body. Let me give you an illustration. A shoe manufacturer wanted to expand into the nations. They decided that they wanted to check out the Congo. So they sent two representatives to visit that nation and to evaluate as to whether or not they could open up a manufacturing plant and sell their product, which was shoes. Well, here came the report from one of the representatives. Prospect here is nil. No one even wears shoes. The other responded, the market here has terrific potential. Everyone's barefooted. You can either see the perspective of no one wearing shoes, or you can look at that and say, you know what, exceedingly great power, and see the opportunity that God is going to give to you. And I really believe that we've got to ask the Lord for the proper perspective, the kingdom perspective in everything that we do. He goes on to say in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your understanding being lightened that you may know, and to know means to be well informed. You've got to be well informed about your situation. How many know that it's not God's plan that any man would perish, but all would have everlasting life? You see, now that I know that, now that I'm enlightened, now that I have understanding, I'm informed that it's not God's will that any would perish, then I can get the courage to invite somebody to breakfast September 28th and say, I want you to come and watch this video. It's called Alpha, that addresses the questions of life. Why would I now have the courage? Is because I know that it's not God's plan for anybody to go to hell. Therefore, that's released me of any hesitation, of any staggering of the promises of God. How many know that we often stagger at the promises of God? Listen to what Romans 4:20 says. Talking about Abraham, Romans 4:20 said, he, Abraham, did not what? At what? Through how? Okay, six of you, thank you. I know it's early and it's Sunday. And the reason why I want you to engage is because it brings your spirit to attention. He didn't waver or stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Our unbelief causes us to waver or to stagger, King James says, at the promises of God. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How many know when a person staggers, they're usually under the influence of something? Phil, you know about this. You're sheriff. When you see somebody driving and they're staggering while they're driving, you know you probably have a problem. Or they get out and they try to walk the line, one foot in front of the other. I couldn't do it, and I'm totally sober. But they would do what? They would stagger because they can't get their bearings on where they're going. And when we operate in unbelief, we are staggering at the promises of God. Did you know that unbelief will make you drunk with the world? You will become inebriated by the things of the world. And therefore, stagger at the promises of God. Now, the word stagger literally means to hesitate with caution. Like you want to walk, but you're like, and you're wavering. It means to hesitate with caution. Unbelief will bring all the cautions as to why you're believing. They'll say, you shouldn't do that because what if it doesn't work? What if God doesn't heal? What if God doesn't come through? What if this doesn't happen? And you begin to look at the cautions. And it's really time for us to throw cautions. You ever hear that saying? Throw cautions where? Now, what I'm saying by that is you throw your cautions to the Holy Spirit. You throw your cautions to the Holy Ghost. Say, God, I don't know. Help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. I throw my cautions to the Holy Spirit who will address my weaknesses. Because God understands. Not every one of us have perfect faith. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of the word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. I like the story of the woman with the issue of blood and Jairus. Jairus comes to Jesus. Would you come and heal my daughter? She's sick. He gets interrupted by a woman with the issue of blood. She gets touched. She gets healed. And Jesus continues his journey with Jairus. And in verse 49, as they're proceeding to his house, a servant comes from his home and says, do not bother the master any longer. Why did he tell them that? Because your daughter is dead. Oh, jeez. All right, Jesus, never mind. Thanks anyway. That was a caution. That was a statement of unbelief. That was an interruption of direction. That was a drink of caution or a hesitation or a wavering of where they were going. And when Jesus heard it, look at this in verse 50. I think we have it there. Luke 8:50. When Jesus heard it, he answered him and saying, "Darn, I wish she wouldn't have died. Oh, shucks. Man, I was going to try to pray for her. Hey, man, better luck next time. You know, do you have any more kids? Do you have any more kids? Let's just love on them." Jesus didn't say that. What did Jesus say? He said, "Do not be afraid." What?
Believe.
Now notice. He didn't say just believe. You know that caution you just got by her being dead? Only believe. Let that caution be thrown to the wind through the Holy Spirit, and you just believe. Because if you will believe, I will release my exceedingly great power towards you. So on they went, and the story ends up, she is raised from the dead. Say this with me. What you focus on, you magnify. Say it again. Whatever I focus on, I will magnify. One more time. Whatever I focus on, I will magnify. Notice in our text today that power is activated when we believe. Thus, what do you think the enemy is going to do? He's going to try to minimize your belief. Did you hear Johnny Wade Sloan say last Sunday, 80% of Christians in America, "Pastor, I am embarrassed." This is the latest Gallup poll. 80% of Christians in America never read their Bible. How many know faith comes by and by the word? So the devil knows exactly what he needs to do to keep us drunk with the things of this world, that he would minimize the word in our life, and therefore we have little faith or no faith. And because there's no belief, the power of God is not released, because it has to have belief. The power of God has to find belief. Belief is the magnet. Belief is the conduit. Belief is the avenue. And you say, "Well, I don't have much belief." That's all right. Just say, "God, I believe, but you got to help me with all my unbelief. And I'm taking every caution and I'm throwing it to the wind, the Holy Spirit. And I believe, God, that you're able." That's all he's looking for, is some belief. That's all he's looking for. You have to remember, no disappointment, no setbacks, no reports, no injustices, no person, no hater, no jealousy can stand against our God. The bigger the problem, say that with me, the bigger the problem, the bigger my destiny. Say it again. The bigger my problem, the bigger my destiny. Come on, one more time. The bigger my problem, the bigger my destiny. Now right there, give God praise. Come on. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Are we stuck up there on the computer? Maybe. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith. Come on, read it with me. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes must believe. Stop. Must believe that he is what? Must believe that he is. If you come to God, you must believe that he is. When God appeared to Abraham, he said, "Tell him I is who I is." In other words, he was saying, "I am who I am. I am whatever you need me to be." Hebrews 11:6 says, if without faith it's impossible to please God, but he who comes to God must believe that he is whatever you need. He's a healing if you're sick. He's favor when you need a break. He's a way when you don't have one. He's restoration when somebody stole from you. He's vindication when you've been falsely accused. He's whatever you need whenever you need it. All right, get ready now. Come on, we got to grease this place up a little bit. All right, now, I'm not finished by any means, but I want you to see Isaiah 3:10. I want you to see it. You got it up on the screen. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. All right, now get up on your feet. Find three people and find a righteous around you and say, hey, it's going to be well with you. Come on. Hey, it's going to be well with you. Going to be well, my brother. Going to be well. Come on. You got to say to the righteous, it's going to be well with you. Now, I'm going to share with you that thermostats control environments. And when you come home and it's 82 in the house and you need to cool it down, you got to set the thermostat. And you want it to be 72, so you put it on 72. And the furnace goes to work. The air conditioner goes to work. I went the wrong way. And it starts changing the atmosphere. But you've got to leave the thermostat alone. Set it and forget it. Because you know when you set it, it's going to go to work for you. And in due season, you're going to reap the reward of 72 if you faint not. Right? If you hold the thermostat at the temperature and don't touch that dial, don't be moved by what you feel, don't be moved by what you see, don't be moved by what your wife says. You know, it's so cute sometimes. Tina will say, well, can you turn it down some more? I said, sweetheart, that's not how it works. You got to give this thing time. So I just say, it's working on it. When you set your thermostat of faith in God, he's working on it. You got to look over at somebody and say, God is working on it. Come on, God is working on it. You know, it's an incredible story. Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes to his hometown, couldn't do any great miracle there. And he marveled. He marveled at their unbelief. Unbelief, he couldn't do a great miracle. Why? Because belief is what draws God's power. Unbelief, power can't be released. So he couldn't do any great miracle there because of their unbelief. Unbelief or belief is an important factor. Let me show it to you in Ezekiel 37. You know this story. Verses 1 to 3, God sets Ezekiel down in the middle of dry bones. You know, sometimes God will set you up in what seems to be impossible and ask you the question, so what do you think? And you're like, well, I know what I'm thinking ain't the right answer. So I'm not going to say that. But God said, what do you think, Ezekiel? Can these bones live? Now, why would God ask Ezekiel, a man like you and me, if the dry bones can live? He's God all by himself. Shoot, just make them live, God. He said, no, I need somebody to believe that I can do this. He said, only you know, Lord. And then God said, prophesy to them. that these bones can live. Now, God didn't ask him to give him a commentary on how difficult the task was. Don't tell me how long the bones have been dry. Don't tell me how disjointed they are. Don't tell me that it's impossible. Don't tell me it's never been done before. Just answer the question. Do you believe these bones can live? God doesn't need your color commentary. Let your yea be yea and your no be no. Watch. So, God had the power to bring dead bones back to life, but there was one thing missing. Verse 3. God wanted to know what Ezekiel believed. How many know that God wants to send a revival in northeastern Ohio that will be of epic proportions that will impact the nations of the earth? Now he's just setting us down in the middle of it and he's saying, do you believe it? He's looking for somebody to believe it. But we come back with, but God, you know. 82% of all the households, residences in Lorain are rentals. God, you know, 90% of all the children in Lorain City Schools qualify for free lunches and breakfasts. God, you know, we've lost over 15 to 18,000 manufacturing jobs over the last 15 years. God said, I didn't ask you all that. I don't need a commentary on the dryness of the bones. I know they're dry. I'm just looking for somebody that'll sit in the middle of it and say, I believe God is able to do exactly what he said he'll do. And when he finds somebody that will believe, power is released. How many of you ever felt God showed up too late? Be honest. You prayed, you believed, and nothing happened. I'm saying, like, God, what is up? I believed and I prayed. I prayed and I believed. And I sang Donnie McClurkin's song, You Just Stand. And nothing worked. Where were you? You ever feel that way? In John chapter 11, Mary and Martha felt that way. They prayed. Oh, Lazarus, be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus, come. Send a word to Jesus because that's his dear friend. He'll come and he'll raise him up out of his sick bed. But he came too late. He was already dead. And when they saw Jesus, oh, Lord, had you been here? Had you come? You could have healed Lazarus. And what did Jesus say? He went on to a dissertation with them, but then he said this, show me the place where you laid him. Say that with me. Show me the place where you laid him. Watch this. Show me the place. Say it. Show me the place where you lost your faith. Take me back to the place where you buried what you were believing for. Don't make me run in this church. I'm about to run. Woo, I got goose pimples on my goose pimples. Huh? Come on, watch. He said, take me to the place where you stopped believing. Watch this. Take me to the place where you decided it was over. Let's go there. All right, Jesus, come on. He's dead. Jesus is like, shut up. So they walk to the tomb. Jesus weeps. They're weeping. You got professional mourners. They're all weeping. Everybody's quit. Everybody's giving up. And Jesus said this. Put it on John 11. Verse 40. And you got to read this with me, okay? And I know some of you are kind of like bored and all that, but just hang in there, okay? I know some of you are like thinking about the Browns. Forget about them. They're going to lose anyway. Just Lord. Did I just say that? I'm just rubbing. Okay, come on, right? Come on with me. Jesus said to her, come on, everybody. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would okay, I want you to read it again. I want you to read it again. Come on. Did I not
say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?
Now, Jesus said that to her even after it went from sickness into death. From death into burial. From burial into 4 days. Which the rabbis taught the soul left the body. It began to decay. So Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, even though the soul, according to your tradition, left the body, even though the body in the natural has begun to decompose, did I not say that if you would believe? Why? Why is belief so important? Because belief, according to Ephesians 1:18, releases the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us. I say, hit me with your best shot. I'm talking to God, man. Hit me with your best Holy Ghost. Boom! I need the power of God in my life. Now listen, just because you believe, and I got to quit. Just because you believe and it didn't work out doesn't mean that it's over. Just because you believed and it didn't work out, you lost the job, house went back to the bank, kids didn't get saved, your body's still sore, money's all run out. God, I believed. Had you been here, God? I don't get it. He said, take me back to the place where you stopped believing. Take me back to the place where you said it was over. And let's start again. Why? God didn't have healing in his mind. He had resurrection. Now listen, sometimes the thing you think you need isn't big enough. God's got something bigger planned for your life. And the thing that you're looking for is just a little bit too small. It's just a little too constricted. God's got something bigger. So don't you grow weary in well-doing. Because you shall reap reward. Why? Because when you come to God, you got to believe that He is. He is what? Everything I need. He's a good God, church. He's a good God. And He might be just planning for you not to pay your bills this month, but to move you into debt-free living. I don't know if I can finish this or not. I'm going to try. Ephesians 1:20. Last verse, almost last verse. He's talking about the power that's released toward us when we believe. That's all I got to do is believe. The old song said, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. And then I say, Lord, I believe. I didn't know what I was singing back then. I was singing a song that was releasing the power of God. Watch this, verse 20. Which He worked in Christ. The same power, my belief is releasing that He worked in Christ. Come on, say worked in Christ. If it's the same spirit that worked in Christ, get ready. It's going to work in you. It's going to work in you. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. I don't have time to read it all, but let me say this, if you can put it on the screen. The power of God is for us. And the purpose of that, knowing that power, is to bring us to Jesus and keep us there. Keep us there. I said, God, keep me in faith. Keep me in Jesus. Regardless of whether they tell me my daughter's dead, keep me in faith. Regardless of Lazarus, my brother, died, keep me in faith. Regardless of I don't have enough money at the end of my month, God, keep me in faith. God, even though the city said I can't, God, just keep me in faith. God, even though I see people walking away, God, just keep me in faith. God, I want to stay in that place. I want to stay with you, Jesus. Jesus said, don't you listen to them. You just only believe. You see, the power of God in belief that's released, his purpose is to keep us to Jesus, bring us to Jesus, and to keep us in Jesus. Power to reign with Christ over all principalities, powers, mights, and dominion. I love this part. Say with me, in every name. Say with me, every name that is named. Come on, every name that is named. Is cancer a name? Is lack a name? Poverty a name? Marital conflict, a name? Every name. In verse 22, he says something that's incredible. And when I read that verse, I think, God, I don't understand why you'd even say that about us. Can you put verse 22 up? And he said, who gave, put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. I'm God. My rightful place is to be the head and not the tail. To be above and not beneath. That's my rightful place. Jesus, help my unbelief. And that's my prayer this morning. That's my prayer. I want every person in this room who struggles with unbelief just to bow your head. Come on, let's all just bow our heads. And Father, I just ask now, God, even as that man came to you and you said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Father, we're just being honest. We're being open today. But we know that that man's acknowledgement of unbelief removed the obstacle between you and him and his need. Because even acknowledging he had unbelief was belief that you could still work. So I'm asking for that today, God, that you would change this house, change this church, change this region with our belief, God. And we believe in you, Father. We believe that you are the Son of the living God who was born from a virgin, who grew in a sinless life of perfection, who made an open show of the devil who was suspended between heaven and earth, who was the supreme sacrifice for the sins of humanity, who bled and with every drop redeemed and died. You were buried and on the third day rose again, and you were seated in heaven at the right hand of God, and now have given all authority to your church. Thank you, Father. I receive your authority now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are in a perfect place today. Don't you think just because things went too far one way or the other that it's over? We know it's never over till it's over. And I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't over. Long as you and me are still living, walking, moving, breathing, it's not over. So God, you must have something greater planned for me, because you're a good God and you wouldn't ignore me. So you must have something better for me. And I'm just going to lift my hands and praise you for it. I think we ought to do that just for the next 15 seconds. Come on, lift up your hands, begin to praise him. because you know that God is good. He's good all the time, and He's about to reveal His goodness in your life. And the ability and the power of God is coming to you and to me and our household. Thank you, Father. Give you all the praise, Jesus. One last time, you look over to your right or you look over to your left and you say, the word of the Lord said to say to the righteous that it's going to be well with you. Come on, say it's going to be well with you. It's going to be well with you. Pastor Benson, it's going to be well with you. We expect to raise enough money for many, many boats. It's going to be well with you. All right, let me just share a couple things with you as we get ready to close out. And I got to run, and Pastor Troy will ask if you need to be saved and give your life to Jesus. And Pastor's going to go over to the second service with us. If any of you would like to come, we're going to meet again at noon. So you have to hurry, though, to get there at noon. But I'll be over there. Love to see you. On September 20th, everybody that's 18 to how old? 28. That would not include me and many of you. But if you're 18 to 28, the Chillin' and Whatnot group is meeting at Troy and Becca's house from 8 to 11. And what they're going to be doing is watch a movie, have a bonfire, hang out, bring something to share, and just make friends and know that God has connections for you. And that age group is part of my mission that God called me to according to Psalm 71 verse 18. When I'm old and gray, God forsake me not, that I might demonstrate or show the power of God to this next generation. So I just want to invite all of you, if you need to, you could see Ashley, she's going to stand, please, would you? There's Ashley and also Kristen, if you don't know Kristen Santos, I don't think she's here, is she? No. You could see her as well. Or check out on Facebook, Chillin' and Whatnot. Chillin', it's not with an I-N-G, it's I-N, Chillin', all right? You can check that out on Facebook, invite your friends, and be a part of this. God has something special for you. Pastor Troy, are you still here? Would you come up and receive the people to be born again? And Tina and I, thank you for your support and ministry and help and what all you're doing. And Grandma Essie, it's great to see you. You look absolutely amazing. She's got the most stylish look I've ever seen in my life. 94 years young, and she's styling this morning. Looks great. And don't forget the midweeks. I can't emphasize enough. You got to get your marriage fixed. All right? Get your marriage fixed. You say, I need some counseling. Great. Come on out to this class. Be a part of it. And then my relationship with God. Go deeper in Jesus. Dr. Smallwood is going to help you. It's going to be an awesome time. And we have a celebration dinner coming up after 4 weeks. And then we had that soaking service Wednesday, Thursday night. I'll tell you, that was amazing. I don't know where the worship team is, but you guys are like rocked the house. It was, I'm telling you, folks, there is a move of God. Get in it. Don't sit back. Get in it. Press in. And we're excited for it. Is Elder Tom going to do that Sunday school class? Have you talked to him? Elder Tom, you going to teach Sunday school starting
prime
coming
time.
Up? Prime time with Elder Tom? Is that you?
Tom.
He's looking at me like he's not sure. So, anyway.
We didn't ask you to do that.
All right.
Yet.
We love you. God bless you.
Come on, Pastor. Give him a great big hand. Honor him. Stand your feet. Honor him. That was incredible. Come on, we can all stand to our feet, church. Altar ministers, quickly and with a sense of you mean it, come forward. Move forward like you mean it. All the altar ministers. Can I get some younger altar ministers too? We need ministers of every demographic represented. Even the Steelers fans who are now Browns fans. You can still root for the Steelers. I'm just saying you have to honor the Cleveland Browns, because listen, you can't bring revival where there's no honor. So we have to do that. If you're not born again, come on now. If you're not born again, or if you're questioning whether your relationship with Christ is right or not, we want to pray for you before you leave. I would beg you not to leave until you know that Jesus is your own. that word that he waited purposely 4 days because he didn't want to heal him. He wanted to resurrect him. I just sensed that come alive in this house. I felt like prophetically he was speaking to the region. He was speaking to every one of us, and I just declare it over every family member in this house right now. And it may appear as if that Jesus missed it, but he just wants to resurrect it. He's going to resurrect things in your life. He's going to tear things up in this region. Absolutely, just wreck things in this region. Grab the hand of your neighbor and pray for them right now. And right now, we pray your grace and love and mercy. And if the hand I'm holding is in need of your love, I pray, God, right now, that they would recognize the need by squeezing my hand. Come on, if you need that love right now, you're absent of God's love, you're absent of his purpose, you're absent of his destiny. If you need it, just squeeze gently the hand that you hold, and that lets them know right now that they'll go to heaven for you right now. They're going to heaven for you, and they're declaring your name, they're declaring your situation, your circumstance to Jesus. They're declaring that you are a son and daughter of God, that God desires that no man perish, but that every man would come to eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. We declare now every man, every woman, every boy and every girl in this room to be born again by the Spirit, to come alive to their purpose and their destiny in this earth, that they would know that they would that Jesus is alive, and that they have a destiny, and that they have a purpose. We declare revival in their heart, revival in their feet, revival in their hands, revival in their head, and it would be released to this region so powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give Jesus praise this morning. Hey, if the hands you held this morning gave you a little tug, we want to pray for them this way. So why don't you just invite them to come and make that walk this way before we all go that way. If you need prayer in your physical body this morning, we want to pray for you. If you have a deep concern, if you're troubled in your spirit, these prayer warriors want to go to heaven on your behalf. Don't go that way without first coming this way. God bless you. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. Live in revival this week, church. God bless you as you go.